Call the meeting to order. Representative Murdock will move the minutes to the last meeting. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, seeing none, motion carries. First up is House File 1038, Representative Jackson. Phil, come on down. We've got Representative Johnson moving the division report for House File 1038 be adopted. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, seeing none, that motion carries. Except Representative Jackson, are you here? Come on down. Representative Johnson will move House File 1038 as amended, be recommended to pass and refer to the General Register. Representative Jackson, your bill.
Thank you, sir. This was brought to me by the Public Utilities Commission, and what it does is codify and make explicit what heretofore has been an implicit authority, and that is the authority to order a refund paid from utility to a customer if there's been an overcharge. I have with me Burl Haar.
To answer any questions that people may have, are you aware of any opposition or anyone here to testify in opposition to House File 1038? Seeing none, Representative Johnson will renew his motion to allow refunds and move House File 1038 as amended to be recommended to the General Register. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, seeing none, that motion carries. Thank you, Representative Jackson. Thank you, Mr. Haar. Next up is Representative Bunsfield. Sorry, Representative Sanders, we've got... did you see him? He was even up and ready to roll. He wasn't going to wait till a count of five. I like that. Representative Bunn is House File 412. The chair will move House File 412 be recommended to pass and refer to the General Register. Representative Bunn, it's my understanding there's an author's amendment to DE1. Chair will move that amendment. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. That puts it in the shape that the author desires to proceed. Representative Bunn, to your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. You want a tight ship. I can see it. I appreciate that. Thank you very much. Members, this is one of several bills that were brought forward this session as part of a homeowner's protection package related to the issue of mold and water intrusion in homes. This is a small bill related to that was intended to be a technical fix. The essential issues that prior to 2004 in the law with homeowner warranties, there was no statute of repose. There was no time after which you could no longer file an action. So in 2004, with an amendment at that time, that was changed to what we believe, based on reading of the legislative record, both in committee and on the House floor at that time, was intended to imply a 12-year statute of repose, after which time you could no longer file an action, and a 2-year statute of limitations, that you had to discover the breach within 2 years, discover the reason you had to report it, you had to file the action within 2 years of discovery of the breach. You got me going too fast today. So the original, the purpose of this was a technical fix to clarify that language, because in subsequent years after 2004 until 2007, there was various court rulings that interpreted it in various ways, so there was confusion in the courts as to the statute of limitations and the statute of repose and the way they interface with one another in the original wording. Our original bill was to reinstate those original intent based on our interpretation of what was discussed back then, which was to have a 12-year statute of repose and a 2-year statute of limitations. What we are doing with the DE1 amendment here today is by way of a compromise. With that original bill, there was still some concerns with the Builders Association as to, in some continuing discussion and debate as to the original intent in the first conversation back in 2004. And this amendment compromises. They were particularly concerned as well, under this interpretation, someone could discover the breach, you know, 1 week before the 12th year, and still they can't imagine trying to push it to, you know, allow them to file an action even later than the 12th year, that they would just keep pushing out this actional date. So the purpose of this is to address that concern by compromise. So what it does is it has still a 12-year statute of repose. No one, under any circumstances, can file an action after the 12th year, but there's a 2-level statute of limitations. Those who discover the breach prior to the 10th year can have a 2-year statute of limitations, up to 2 years to file an action. But if you discover the breach after the 10th year, between the 10th and the 12th, you only have 1 year for your action, but still with a permanent statute of repose at the end date, but you have up to 1 year. So that hopefully there weren't as many cases, you know, close to that 12th year, they would be fewer in those categories, maybe pushing the limits of this legislation. In addition, and I will let our testifier deal with this more specifically, We've also addressed what we think was something left out in the earlier legislation, was that we believe that the legislature most likely had intended or would have appreciated extending this repose, putting a final end date, not only on statutory warranties, but also on express written warranties. And they did not do that. So we're adding an additional bonus for contractors and builders that there'll now be a repose, statute repose, in both cases, in both types of warranties. So that is what this is about. And I'm going to have Scott Andreessen, who's an attorney who works in cases there, to very briefly talk about the kind of confusions that occurred, but also what we've done with adding the express written warranty tonight.
Thank you, Representative Bunn. And I think what we'll do, you've given a very detailed overview of what the bill does. We've got Ms. Frenette from the builder, who just put a piece of candy in her mouth, I think. But it's my understanding at this point that the builders do not oppose the bill. Is that correct? Please, and I don't want to take away from Mr. Andreessen, but if we've got some sense, I suspect you still have concerns. But if you are not opposed to the bill, then we're probably able to move more rapidly than otherwise.
Mr. Chair, members, Lisa Frenette with the Builders Association, Minnesota. Thank you very much. I won't take long. We appreciate the fact that Representative Bunn has come together with a compromise. I was not privy to this compromise up until a little while ago. I have not had a chance to talk with our attorneys about it. I will, however, accept it on face value.
Thank you, Ms. Frenette. And I would say, by the way, is there anyone else other than Mr. Andreessen? I kind of consider him a phone-a-friend in case we have questions or concerns or want to get into the details. Is there anybody else here to testify on this bill? Are there questions or concerns that members of the committee have relative to it with the amended language? And Ms. Frenette, I'd expect that if the lawyers or anybody has problems, it should contact Representative Bunn. I know that Mr. Andreessen's been very involved in it as well, and I want to make sure that he's involved in that in any further discussions as well. But otherwise, it seems to me that it is much more clear than it was before and addresses something that we kind of left lingering unintended. But the courts have considered that we left it lingering, and hopefully this will bring a lot more clarity to a situation that we left too clouded when we adopted this a couple of years ago. Is there any other questions or concerns from members? If not, the chair will renew his motion that House File 412 be recommended to pass and refer to the General Register as amended. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Seeing none, that motion prevails.
Thank you,
Representative Bunn. Mr. Andreessen, that was very articulate. You did an excellent job. Thank you very much. And Ms. Burnett, thank you. We are now going to do, because we've got a lot of folks here with amendments on this one, this is going to be my bill. It's House File 1853. The chair will move House File 1853, be recommended to pass, and be referred to the General Register. There's a number of authors' amendments.
I don't hear anybody counting. Chair Atkins, to your bill.
Thanks, Mr. Chair.
I understand we have some amendments.
We
all have your amendments. Go ahead when ready, sir.
Mr. Chair, and they are all authors' amendments. If the committee's pleasure, I'd like to just put all the authors' amendments on in a series of motions, and then we'll discuss the bill and see if anybody has any questions. The department bill, my understanding with respect to all of the amendments that there is peace in the valley on behalf of the department, the people that brought them, and me.
Chair Atkins will move the A1 amendment.
I will.
Any questions to A1?
Yes.
Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? A1 adopted.
Chair, I'll move the A4 amendment.
A4 has been moved. Any questions to A4? Are you okay, Representative Zeller?
Oh, sure.
Okay. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? A4 adopted.
Mr. Chair, I am going to, as we go here, the A7 and A8 amendments are being passed out. I won't move those until the end, but the others are all in your packets. I would move the A5 amendment.
Chair Atkins has moved the A5 amendment. Any questions? Seeing none. All in favor, aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Adopted, sir. Mr. Atkins?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move the A090218 amendment.
Any questions to that that amendment? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Adopted.
Mr. Chair, I move the A7 amendment, which members should now have. I know they've got it all on the minority side.
A7 is being handed out if you want to wait to... A7 has been moved. Any questions to the A7? Just a second, I guess.
We have, Mr. Chair, an oral amendment to the A7. Mr. Pender drafted the oral amendment. This just includes some language that should have been in it. I'll let Mr. Pender address.
Mr. Pender.
Mr. Chair and members, on the A7 amendment, after line 3.34, insert lines. Page 43, lines 5 and 6, delete the new language. And then page 51, page 51, line 23, after the word application, period, insert paragraph A. A small a. Section 20 is effective for all policies with policy years beginning on or after May 21, 2009. And then one final one, and this one is a little bit longer. Page 44, line 11. Before the period, insert semicolon and paren 5, close paren, in the case of an individual or group health insurance policy offering incentives to individuals for taking part in preventive health care services, medical management incentive programs, or activities designed to improve the health of the individual. And I apologize for having to read such a long thing.
Thank you, Mr. Pender.
That was literally is Mr. Pender's language. That wasn't brought to me by any interest group or any other individual or person. That's Mr. Pender's language. He's got a written copy of it. He's made a record of it for the tape. I'd incorporate that into the amendment. I'd appreciate your support.
Any questions to the A7 amended amendment? That's probably a good thing. Any questions? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Amended amendment adopted.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move the A8 amendment.
Mr. Atkins has moved the A8 amendment. Any questions? Does everybody have a copy of that? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? A8 adopted.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And finally, it's my understanding that Representative Davis has an A6 amendment that the author supports. I'd be happy to take that now and put it into the bill.
Representative Davis?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members, and thank you, Chair Atkins. This is simply the language for the guarantee fund that we passed the bill out of here earlier. We want to give it several rides along the way here, and this is one of them.
Any questions to the Davis amendment? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Adopted, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. We are now to the bill, and we can do it the easy way or the hard way. The easy way is that it's my understanding that there is no opposition to the bill. It's the department's bill. I've vetted it with everybody that wanted to be heard on it. All of the amendments were agreed to. I'd be happy to stand for any questions. Otherwise, I just appreciate your support.
Thank you, Chair Atkins. Maybe I'll just give the crowd one drive-by. Anybody interested in being heard or for or against this bill? Seeing none, any members? With that, Chair Atkins?
Chair, I'll renew my motion that House File 1853 is meant to be recommended pass and referred to general register.
Very good. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Your bill as amended is on its way.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members.
Representative Simon, did you have a question? Or?
No.
Okay. Representative Sanders? We're going to, maybe you want to move your Senate file, I believe. We're going to.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'll move Senate file 743 to be passed and placed on the consent calendar.
Very good.
And I do have an oral amendment as well, Mr. Chair.
Okay, we have your bill before us. Which amendment is it?
It's an oral amendment deleting Section 6 and Section 12.
Thank you, Representative Sanders.
Mr. Chair, actually, since we did move the Senate file, we do not need to make the oral amendment.
Okay, very good. So we have your bill before us. Go ahead. Representative Sanders.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This is the Weights and Measures Technical Bill. The bill just conforms our statutes with the standards determined by the American Standards Testing Material Specifications. And I do have someone here if there are any extreme technical questions.
Okay. I think we'll kind of follow suit with what's kind of gone forward here. Is there anybody in the audience that would like to be heard for or against the bill? Any questions from members? With that, Representative Sanders, would you like to renew your motion? I think we're probably good to go. Good testifying there, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. Renew my motion that Senate File 743 passed and be placed on the consent calendar.
With that, Representative Sanders renews his motion that Senate File 743 be recommended to pass and sent to the General Register. Consent calendar. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Seeing none. You're on your way, sir. Passing.
Mr. Chairman.
Morrison. Representative Daphne.
Good afternoon, Chair.
Would you like to move your bill, sir?
Yes, I'd like to move House File 2029 to be recommended to pass and sent to the General Register.
Thank you, Representative Daphne. I understand. Do you have amendments? Or?
Mr. Chair, I not only have amendments, unfortunately, I have amendments to the amendments. So if we could slowly... Mr. Quapix, if no one else is in the room, walk through these. I would like to start with the A090300 amendment.
Okay, does everybody have a copy of the 09?
It was in the members' packet.
0300 yeah. Amendment.
And to that, excuse me. To that amendment, I need to make an oral amendment deleting line 6.20. For those following at home, this deletes a deletion and two negatives make a positive, so it means that section 16 remains in the bill. If I could incorporate that into my amendment, please. And secondly,
has everybody's kind of got that that first one there? Looks good. Representative Daphne?
I'm not done yet on this amendment, Chair. I'm just needing to make sure that... I would also like to delete sections 13... You know, that'll be on the bill.
So
if we can incorporate that on the A300 amendment, we are good on that amendment.
Okay. Any questions to the A300 amendment? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
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 Those opposed? That passed the A09-300 amendment.
Thank you. Now if I could...
Representative Dan.
If I could move the H2029A1 amendment. And I have two oral amendments to this. One is a drafting error. On page 1, line 21...
Okay. Everybody have a copy of the A1? Okay, good.
I'll leave it to Mr. Pender as to whether this is before or after the semicolon. There should be the word or.
Mr. Pender.
Mr. Chair and Representative Dabney, that's correct. Should be an or there.
And is that before or after the semicolon, Mr. Pender?
After the semicolon.
All right. So if I could incorporate that into the H2029A1 amendment, Mr. Chair.
Representative Daphne, that's incorporated. Go ahead.
Thank you. And then in addition, under the category of if I ruled the world, we would do it this way, but I don't, I'd like to delete lines 1.23 through 1.27 on that same amendment. For members to understand, the new language on 1.16 through 1.22 aligns requirements for state chartered banks to be in line with the regulations or the guidance from the Office of the Comptroller of the Currency for federally chartered banks. So this is simply establishes a level playing field, and the banking associations, as I understand it, are comfortable with this language.
I see some nodding. So that's always nice in the crowd.
So if I can incorporate the deletion of 1.23 to 1.27 on the H2029A1 amendment.
Any questions to this, these changes and the amendment to the A1? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? A1 is
and
passed.
One
as amended. And
thank you, Mr. Chair and members. One last oral amendment would delete sections 13 and 14 of the House File 2029 that is on pages, begins on page 29, line 26. Representative Davids would recognize this language and goes through
page 32, line 32.26.
That's correct. Thank you. Line, page 32, lines 32 through 6. Thank you, Representative Davis.
Just one second, Representative
Daphne.
Mr. Pender.
Mr. Chair and Representative Daphne, maybe I missed something, but it seems to me that the first section that's amended on the A09-0300 amendment conflicts with the H2029A1 amendment. They amend the same section of law in a different way.
You know, thank you, Mr. Pender. Mr. Pender is correct. After we, I guess, then to get the bill in the order that the author prefers, Mr. Pender, catch me, but I assume we, since I've moved the deletion of sections 13 and 14, we should complete that action and then delete the new language on page 1.15 and 1.16.
Mr. Pender.
Mr. Chair, Representative Devney, yes. So that we could actually delete the first from the A09-0300, we could delete everything from 1.2 down to 1.16, because the only change made there is the change that conflicts with the other amendment.
So, Mr. Chair, then, can I simply make one motion that deletes lines... No, I can't. Yes, I can. No, I can't. we've already incorporated the 300
really
into the bill. Are we on TV tonight?
Oh, good. We're in the basement.
And I'm grateful.
I believe we have to reconsider the A09-300 amendment.
Right. Then I'd so move, Mr. Chair.
Aye.
All those in favor say aye.
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 Those opposed? Amendments back before us.
All right. So, to review, my apologies. I would like to delete page 1, lines 2 through 16. And
from this Daphne, I think we might have a stop right away here.
Mr. This was my error in what I said before. The deletion should start with 1.3, line 1.3.
Oh, all right.
Because we need 1.2 to tell us where to put the stuff that starts on 1.17.
Okay. All right. So, deleting 1.3, thank you, Mr. Chair, 1.3 through 1.16. And then, and this is, you've heard this before, deleting page 6, line 20.
So that was the one we had done earlier.
That's correct, Mr. Chair. I'm hoping, Mr. Chair, that the discussion of the oral amendments is shorter than the presentation of the bill itself when we're done.
Representative Daphne, we have your AO9-300 amendment with your deletion, 1.3 through 1.16, and your and deleting line 6.20.
That is my wish, Mr. Chair. And I'd move the
any questions to
300
that?
Amendment.
Seeing none, all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Pass. Thank you, Mr. Pender.
Yes. Now, Mr. Chair,
Daphne.
We still have the motion of deleting sections 13 and 14 from the bill. And this, again, begins page 29, line 26, and goes through page 32, page line 26.
Any questions to that amendment to the bill itself? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Adopted. Representative Davis. Daphne. What is your name?
I'm not sure anymore. Mr. Chair. Members, this is supposed to be a simple non-controversial bill from the department who happily is here to present on the bill and can do the walkthrough at this point far better than I can. With me tonight, Mr. Chair, is Mr. Kevin Murphy from the Department of Commerce.
Go ahead, sir. Please say your name for the record. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, Kevin Murphy, Deputy Commissioner at the Commerce Department. Our annual bill, mostly technical changes. I'll try to hit the high spots for you. Section 1 deals with reverse mortgage loans. We have a very good consumer protection statute, 4758. What our Section 1 does is clarify that mortgage brokers licensed under Chapter 58 must follow the requirements of 4758, which includes counseling for consumers. Section 2 is wordsmithing. Section 3 deals with payday lenders, and what we're proposing here is that payday lenders operating over the internet would be required to get a Minnesota license and follow the Minnesota fee schedule on payday loans. Sections 4, 5, 6, and 7 are...
Mr. Murphy, if you could just kind of slide over a little closer to that, it's...
Sorry,
thank
Mr.
you, sir.
Sections 4 through 7 are technical wordsmithing change. Sections 8 and 9 are pretty lengthy. They cover 16 pages in the bill. And what we're doing here is we're adding a new model law recommended by the National Association of Insurance Commissioners related to audit requirements for insurance companies. All states are required to adopt this law by before 2010. Requires audits of insurance companies, deals with scope of audits, contents, qualifications of auditors, and the like. Some of the language in the amendment makes technical changes to sections 8 and 9. Section 10 is a deleting an obsolete reference. 11 is a technical cross-reference related to the model audit model audit law. Section 12 is another model law recommended by the National Association of Insurance Commissioners, and it clarifies that the 1980 mortality table is the most appropriate table for pricing and reserve calculations on pre-need, which is small denomination life insurance policies. This would result in more accurate reserves on small insurance policies, and there's no adverse effect to the consumer associated with that change. We've taken sections 13 and 14 out of the bill by amendment. Sections 15 through 21 relate to township mutual insurance companies. These are small insurance companies that operate in outstate Minnesota and provide fire insurance. They're companies that are owned by the members. The department in the industry sat down and rewrote this law to modernize it. It clarifies net worth requirements and the like. A joint effort between our department and the industry. 22 deals with transition rules related to Section 12 of the bill. And the we repeal some obsolete things. We take out the old model insurance audit law. We take out the old, in item 2, we take out the old township mutual law. Item 3, we delete an obsolete banking rule. And item 4, we eliminate references to debt prorate entities, which are now called debt management service providers. Section 24 is the related to the effective date of the model audit law. In the amendment, the big amendment, the significant thing we're doing is amending our Chapter 58 dealing with mortgage originators to strengthen the education requirements to conform with new federal requirements. We're also authorizing rulemaking to establish a test requirement for mortgage originators, and the rest of the amendment deals with moving some things around in the bill.
Mr. Murphy, thank you very much. Representative David.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Murphy, you were talking about pre-need contracts are going to remain at the 1980 CSO tables. Is that correct?
Yes, Representative David.
Mr. Murphy. Representative David.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And Mr. Murphy, other contracts then would be, are they under what, the 2000 or what about the, what's the year, 2002?
Mr. Murphy.
Mr. Chairman, I believe it's the 2001 CSO table.
Okay. Thank
Representative
you.
David.
Thank you.
Representative Davids, I understand you have an amendment that you'd like to offer, sir.
Yes, Mr. Chairman.
My understanding that's okay with folks at Commerce. And
I have talked to folks at Commerce, and I'm not aware of any opposition to doing this, I guess.
Sounds great.
Okay. What this is the same one we just did on the other bill, trying to make sure she gets through.
Thank you.
It's not that I'm paranoid, Mr. Chairman. It just seems like everybody's after me.
Representative Daphne, you're okay with the A2 amendment?
It appears that Representative David's years of serving with Representative Kahn have served him well.
Place it everywhere. Representative Davids, will you move the your amendment?
Mr. Chairman, I move the A2 amendment.
Any questions regarding the A2?
Move it.
Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? A2 is adopted. Representative Daphne, any additional comments?
No.
Anybody in the audience?
Support.
Anybody in the audience that'd be like to be heard for or against this bill? Please come forward. Please state your name for the record and go ahead when you're ready, please.
Mr. Chair, honorable members of the committee, I'm Jean Lee, President and Executive Director of Children's Hope International R&R Family Centers. I'm also here representing other nonprofit agencies and consumers who are affected, and we were watching some other language related to counseling services and organizations that were doing that, and so I apologize for the lateness as far as not addressing the issues that is in this particular bill on page 8 between lines 29 to 34 related to certification of counselors. In most of the bills that we've been tracking, there's been references to HUD. Some bills have referenced the Minnesota Housing Finance Agency. Both are regulated government agencies, which we believe, you know, should be part of the process whenever it relates to counseling. Also, that you have licensing boards, you have universities and other organizations that provide the types of trainings that we're talking about. Not all of them are listed here as far as a whole checklist on all the different agencies that could provide the certified.
Ms. Lee, can you just say where exactly again in the bill?
This is on page 8, between lines 8.29 and 8.34.
Okay, thank you. Go ahead again. Sorry.
Okay, so our issue was to, rather than have a whole laundry list as far as all the possible agencies that could provide the certification courses, that we have a generic type of language that identifies the agencies besides HUD that could provide that, that would be inclusive of, for example, the university courses that are being taught. And so we were...
These items are in law already, so we're...
Well, right. I was just mentioning, you know, because we were seeking a delete of the nonprofit agencies and rewording them to be inclusive of all the agencies that provide the services besides HUD. So after HUD, the Department of Housing on line 32 to amend between lines 8.33 and 8.34 to reword that to be inclusive. Now, I understood that I needed permission of the Commissioner of Commerce to do that, and I spoke to Commissioner Wilson. He was going to run it through his various parties and so forth and get back, and haven't gotten that to me yet. So that's still in the process, and I ask that that be considered as far as a possible amendment as this thing is traveling, you know, as soon as we hear back from the department.
Well, thank you very much, Ms. Lee. We have the author here, and I'm sure he'll very much consider your thoughts, and thank you for bringing them forward today.
Ms. Chair, Ms. Lee and I have spoken previously and as well as today to this issue.
Thank you very much. Anybody else interested in being heard for or against this bill? Any further questions from members? With that, Representative Daphne, would you like to remove your bill? renew your motion.
I think I'm your bill as amended. Earlier, Mr. Chair.
You really got me.
I got myself. I'd like to renew my motion that House File 1702 as amended and amended and amended. 2029, sorry, 1702 is K-12 finance an hour ago. House File 2029 as amended be recommended to pass and referred to the General Register.
Thank you very much. Any questions to the motion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Pass, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Chair, I've been asked to move House File 1306 to be before the committee. Representative Hornstein is engaged in another committee and is not available at this time.
Okay.
It did, as you know, Mr. Chair, come through our division.
I think we need to know.
So, Representative Daphne, you my goodness, you moved the committee report?
I do so move, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The bill is before us, sir.
Thank you. I'd like to move that House File 1306 be recommended to pass and refer to the General Register, please.
We have a guest, Mr. Hall. I Is there, why don't we first see if there's anybody for or against this bill? Is there?
How about if we take just a moment to introduce the bill to committee members and then allow Mr. Hall to go, and then if anyone else wishes to testify.
Okay. Mr. Hall, thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Ladies and gentlemen, I come before you today as a citizen of Minnesota now, now 3 years in, and under some very sad circumstances. My wife and I relocated here 3 years ago, and upon relocating here, had the opportunity to have our family come and visit. And at that time, we were sprucing our yard up and doing all the things that you do in the summertime, and took the local landscaping supply to get some supplies to get everything in good order. And unfortunately, had the grave misfortune of buying cocoa mulch and placing it in our yard. Now, to the normal consumer, when you look at the bag, it says organic, pesticide-free. All the things that you know, marketing gurus use to make you buy these types of products. It's to compound the issue, our dog is Moose, who this bill has been fondly crafted after. Was a 105-pound, 3-year-old chocolate Labrador retriever that had just gone to the veterinary the day before. Perfectly good health. And on the day that he died, if he ever had a chance, he had it with me, because I'm a former military working dog specialist from the Air Force, and I'm trained in canine first aid. On the day that Moose passed away, we would not have known that anything was wrong with this perfectly trained dog, except that he didn't come right away as we were playing with him. And my wife, who's here with me today, was on the back of our boat on the St. Croix River throwing a frisbee when all of a sudden he collapsed and fell into the water and died. I immediately ran over and began first aid on him. Called the veterinary clinic through 911 to try to help assist through that, and we weren't successful. And so I had the very unfortunate pleasure of telling my wife that her first dog that she had ever owned and the first gift that I had ever given her as a married couple on Christmas Day was gone. And so we were stunned. We had no idea what had happened, so we took Moose to the University of Minnesota, the veterinary school, and had a necropsy done. And we were blown away, literally crippled in our knees, to find that the reason that he had passed away is because he had ingested this cocoa shell mulch. So we began our kind of crusade, if you will, to find out what we could do about this. This mulch has a chemical that's called theobromine in it. And the only way I know to explain it to you is it'd be equivalent to someone here giving you a high dose of speed and asking you to run grandma's marathon. No one would know anything was wrong with you until your heart exploded and you collapsed, which is basically what happened with Moose. So we contacted the mulch manufacturer to try to get some type of awareness brought about this, and we were basically, you know, had the door shut in our face. We then contacted local news and became a national story on the ABC Nightly News, and had since been contacted by hundreds of people who had no idea that this could happen. We've also, too, gone out and made our neighbors aware of it. And as we walk through our neighborhoods, we find, you know, 10 to 15 of our neighbors in Southwest Minneapolis who have this very mulch down. And if you've ever been in Southwest Minneapolis, you know there's tons of dogs and animals that are walk through that area. So we turned to try to make this into a legal argument, but the companies that we were coming up against were companies like Hershey's, who is the largest manufacturer of this product. And we don't have the means to fight a company that large. So we turned to Senator Dibble and to the House of Representatives to help us, and Senator Dibble was kind enough to put us in touch with the House. We are simply asking that you bring awareness to consumers and by making the signage that's in this bill law, so that people who distribute this particular product can make people aware that, hey, this does have some potential dangers to it. This is totally an avoidable situation, and certainly we hope that you support this bill.
Thank you, Mr. Hall. Sorry about your loss.
Thank you.
There's a lot of friends of dogs here. Representative Powell.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I guess I don't have a dog, and I assume most dogs would eat a lot of other products as well. Do you know about other products that might be dangerous to dogs that the dogs are consuming?
Oh, sure. That.
Mr. Hall.
Yes, Mr. Chair. There are plenty of other products that are out there. You know, when we tried to take this into a legal course of action, it was equivalent to the antifreeze issue that was, I don't know how many years ago that was, but, you know, now it's illegal for you to dump antifreeze outside because pets can eat it or other animals and it can kill them. There certainly needs to be a national campaign made for pet awareness and product labeling, and that's really where the case was leading us. And we are hoping to make this step on a state level, and then to have Minnesota really be a leader in this, and then take it on a national level.
Representative Powell.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, I'm just kind of concerned that we're picking one product here, while there's a lot of products out there that might be dangerous to the dog as well, and then that will lead to, if we start putting labels on everything, might as well we just have a label for every product that could be dangerous to the dog, and that could just, I don't know, lead to labeling for almost everything, I guess. So that's kind of what my concern is.
Mr. Hall.
Well, I would respectfully request that in this particular case, we're talking about a product that is very misleading. I think if you were to go into any of your cabinets at home, you would find things that have poison control labels on them and that give you instructions on how to deal with that product if it is ingested. I'm not a veterinarian. I'm not a chemist. I only know this particular issue here, and that's why I've gotten behind it to try to bring attention to it. But I think the bigger issue is that there is a lot, there are a great deal of folks in our community who have no idea that this product can do this. And so we're simply trying to bring awareness to this particular product.
Thank you, Mr. Hall. Representative Hornstein. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members. Thank you, and then thank especially Representative Dabney for introducing this bill. I was caught in another committee on a vote. But I think the issues have been laid out pretty well here. I also respectfully disagree with Representative Powell. I mean, this is a unique situation with a unique product that is, I think, uniquely toxic to dogs. And again, we have no opposition earlier in committee, and I think it's, you know, common sense and straightforward. And I think the labels actually are important, and that's why we have so many dangerous products that are labeled, and that they save lives, human and otherwise, and that's why I think this bill should be passed. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Representative Hornstein. Any further questions from members? Representative Anderson.
Mr. Chair, Representative Hornstein, I was just wondering, has this companion bill in the Senate, I assume, moved forward?
Yes. Representative Hornstein.
Mr. Chair, Representative Anderson, yes, that it's cleared all needed committees in the Senate, and so I think once we clear here, we're good to go on the floor.
Any questions from the audience? Anybody like to be heard for or against this bill? Seeing none, with that, Representative Dabney renews his motion that House File 1306, as amended, be recommended to pass and sent to the General Register. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed?
No.
Your bill passes.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members.
Just so members know we are meeting on Thursday, and with that, we are adjourned.